Teacher, we pray. Father, we bless you and thank you that you have a purpose for each and every one of us, Father. It's an eternal purpose. It's an everlasting purpose. It's an ever-growing purpose. And that purpose is to be discovered within our hearts. That purpose is to be defined in us by your word. That purpose is to be unveiled in us by your Holy Spirit. That purpose is to be manifested in accordance with your will in each one of our lives. So Father, as we come before you this morning, we come before you knowing that we have a purpose in you. Knowing, Lord, that we are not a chance creation, Father. That we were each chosen from the foundations of the world, Father. And you mean to create each one of us in Christ Jesus and manifest us as your instruments of grace. Manifest us, O God, as a people you have shaped and molded from the intentions of your heart, Father. Each one of us, O God, personified in the love that you have chosen to express in us in the fullness of Christ Jesus by the Holy Spirit. And so we pray, Lord, that you will truly define that calling within our hearts, that you will unveil the calling of the Lord Jesus Christ within us, enabling us to respond to the Master's voice by the Spirit. So as you continue to unveil the witness within us, as you continue to nurture us, as you continue to train us, as you continue to mold us through the everyday situations of our life, through the word that you speak into our lives, through all that you want us and desire us to get involved in, Father, we pray for your purposes to be manifested within our hearts. We pray that you will truly bless us today with the word that you give us in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise the Lord. We all have a calling in the Lord. And the calling in God is very important, because what call God has upon our lives is something very precious. There is no greater privilege than to serve God. And we are all called to serve God. And as God teaches us, as God unfolds His word within us, there is a purpose to all of it. And we are called to discover that purpose. We are called to enter that purpose. We are called to walk bravely into that purpose. Because it is God who equips us. It is God who enables us. It is God who anoints us. It is God who prepares us. It is God who fashions us. It is God who teaches us. It is God who leads us. That's something very, very important that we must understand. Right? The calling on your life is defined in the fullness of Jesus Christ. We have a website, and the mission on that website, I said our mission is to build the kingdom of God, to build the body of Christ, right? To build the body of Christ. That's our mission. And we build the body of Christ in the fullness of Jesus Christ by communicating that fullness into the lives of others. It is that fullness of Jesus Christ, that fullness that is described in His Spirit and His life, that fullness that is described in His faith and His love, that fullness that is described in His character, in His nature, that fullness that is described in His personality, that fullness that is communicated by His testimony, that fullness that is manifested from His being. All that is what builds the body of Christ. All that is what gives credence to what we become. So we build the body of Christ in the fullness of Jesus Christ. Right? And it's very important for us to understand that. Let's turn to Ephesians chapter 4. From verse 11. And He gave some as apostles and some as prophets and some as evangelists and some as pastors and teachers, for the equipping of the saints, for the work of service, to the building up of the body of Christ, until we all attain to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a mature man, to the measure of the stature which belongs to the fullness of Christ. Right? Everything is measured by the fullness of Christ that we have received and realized. So our calling is described in Jesus Christ. He manifested the perfect call of God. He manifested the perfect apostle. He manifested the perfect prophet. He manifested the perfect son. He manifested the perfect priest. He manifested the perfect man. He manifested everything that God wanted. And so we find that it is as we receive Jesus that the calling upon our life finds expression in our hearts. We are called into the kingdom of God, and we are given a mission, we are given a purpose. It is our duty to discover that purpose and that mission. It is our duty to find out what God wants to do with me. How is it God wants to anoint me? What is it God wants me to do? What is the door that God is opening? How is God building me? How is God preparing me? How is God fashioning me? How is God inspiring me? How is God leading me? How is God equipping me? How is God enabling me? Right? In the understanding of what God has called you comes a reality of a deep intimacy with the God who has called you. So all this is very, very deeply personal. It is something you must know and understand. A calling is not based on some prophet just coming and speaking to you. That is not to say that prophets can't tell you what your calling is. What is important for you to understand is that the calling you must receive from God. The prophet confirms what God has already spoken in your heart. The prophet may give you some directions as to how God wants you to unveil that calling, and so forth and so on. But fundamentally, it is what God manifests inside of you that is your purpose in life. And only God can give you a purpose in life that is everlasting. Only God can give you a purpose that will build as you grow in God. So, very fundamental to everything that God is going to do with you is this idea that you have a calling. And every person who is a member of the body of Christ has a calling. And we are called to respond to God's call on our lives. Let's turn to Ephesians chapter 1. From verse 17 to verse 19. Verse 20 rather. This is a prayer by Paul, and we have done this several times. That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give to you a spirit of wisdom. Wisdom is always an application of something. Wisdom is the ability to apply something the way God wants it applied. Knowledge is knowing something. Understanding is being able to put that knowledge into something usable. But wisdom is the ability to apply it. Right? The ability to apply it. Right? That God may give you a spirit of wisdom and of revelation in the knowledge of Him. And that knowledge of Him is the knowledge of Jesus Christ. Because everything that God wants to give you is in the fullness of Jesus Christ. And the fullness of Jesus Christ is a mystery. A mystery that God has to reveal to you. You can only know Jesus as God reveals Him to you. You cannot discover Jesus by just reading a book. Because the reality of Jesus is given to you through His Spirit and His life. And His Spirit and His life has to be brought into your life by God the Father through the ministry of the God the Holy Spirit. So you need to understand that knowing Jesus is a realization of His Spirit and His life that God decides to channel into your heart through the ministry of the Holy Spirit. And when we speak the Word of God, when we teach the Word of God, underlying all that God wants to communicate through His Word is the reality of the Spirit and life of Jesus Christ. So Rhema, the Word that God communicates, the Word through which God speaks, Rhema is defined in the spirit and life of Jesus Christ. And Rhema communicates the fullness of Jesus Christ. And He brings that fullness of Jesus Christ into your heart. And the Holy Spirit makes that communication a living reality inside of you. So that you know that God has a purpose for you. So that you know that Jesus Christ is real. So that you know that Jesus Christ is the Lord. So that you know that Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life. That it is something that you have received from God. It's an inbuilt conviction. It's an inbuilt confidence. And you need to know that this is more important than anything else in your life. Nothing compares with it. Because this is something that God builds into you and it remains with you. When God says He's a strong tower, He's always meaning that that strong tower is built in the spirit and life of Jesus Christ. Because only Jesus Christ fulfills the Psalms. So in the Psalms, the psalmist wrote, O God, You are my strong tower. In the fulfillment of the Psalms, that reality of God being a strong tower can only be communicated into your heart through the spirit and life of Jesus Christ. It's a supernatural reality. You cannot just imagine that God is a strong tower. It has to be built into you in the spirit and life of the Lord Jesus Christ. God is your rock. That reality of God being your rock has to be built into you in the spirit and life of the Lord Jesus Christ. God is your refuge. That's a reality that God has to describe into you through the spirit and life of the Lord Jesus Christ. Because Jesus Christ discovered God being His refuge through His sacrifice on the cross. And we need to understand that in that reality, Jesus Christ discovered a reality of God that is awesome, that we all need to receive. So here He says, the apostle writes, that the eyes of, right, that the Father of glory may give to you a spirit of wisdom and of revelation in the knowledge of Jesus Christ. In the knowledge of Jesus Christ. He has to give it to you. And you need to understand that you need to ask for it. Hello. Every day. I ask this verse. I pray this verse every day of my life. Well, not every day of my life. I've been doing it for something like 12 years. Right? Every day on those 12 years. This has been the passage of Scripture in which God has built me for the ministry. It has been a desire to know Jesus. It has been a desire to receive Jesus in my heart. It has been a constant prayer to in every morning that God will unfold Jesus Christ within me. Right? Verse 18. I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened. And the first thing that comes out of that enlightenment, it says, is so that you may know the hope of His call. So that you may know the hope of His call. God says that there is no meaning to life if there is no purpose to it. And the purpose of a call is to give you purpose, give you direction, let you know that there is something you can do in your life that will last forever. Yes, you can go out and be a brilliant accountant. Yes, you can go out and be a brilliant businessman. Yes, you can go out and be a brilliant whatever you want to be. But all that is described in the boundaries of space and time. One day you will be out of date. One day you will not be needed. One day you will not be wanted. One day you may lose it all. And if you build your life based on that, one day you will sit down and cry. Because one day you will find that your whole life is an empty shell. And so God says to us, the first thing you need in life is a calling, a purpose, something that will enable you to grow. day by day, every day, forever and forever and forever and forever. Without purpose, why live? So the purpose of the calling is to let us know what God wants to do with us, what God wants to establish with our life, to understand why God created you. You, not some airy-fairy nonsense, philosophical drivel. God wants you to know why He created you. Wants you to know, He wants you to discover that. And He wants you to grow with that calling as He develops the calling in your life. So the picture God has of the calling is the picture of a tree of life. And the calling in your life is like a growing tree of life. It's like a growing witness of purpose within you. So that one day you will be a blessing in a stature that will bless nations. God wants you to grow to be a son unto God. God wants you to grow to be a priest unto God. God wants you to grow so that you will become a morning star. God wants you to grow so that you will be a blessing in all that you do in thought, word, and in deed. God wants you to grow with an understanding that you have a destiny, that you are a creature of destiny. You are not just somebody that was just born to some two people because they decided to get married and have children. That there is far more to your creation than anything that the knowledge of man understands. That the essence and substance of your creation is a purpose that is in the Father's heart. So this whole prayer that Paul is making, he addresses it to God the Father. And he says, the Father of glory may give to you. The Father of glory, the purpose of the calling is to manifest the glory of God in your life. The purpose of the calling is that you will discover the glorious purpose of God for you. And that calling is entirely God-given. That calling is entirely described in the spirit and life of the Lord Jesus Christ. It is defined in His faith. It is established in His faith. It is fulfilled in His love. Jesus died so that you can discover a purpose. Salvation is more than just getting saved. Salvation is having a purpose in God. Having a purpose that is a growing blessing and a growing fulfillment. God created you in the vastness of His thoughts. God created you and He said, I have fearfully and wonderfully made you. God is not being poetic. He wants you to know and understand that you have a purpose. It is time for us to stop wallowing in the mud and think that we have established and realized great purposes by wallowing in the mud. It is time for us to understand that we are creatures of destiny. That God the Word came down and He died for us so that we will have a purpose. And this purpose comes to you from the eyes of your heart. In the King James it says, eyes of your understanding. Right, but in the New American Standard it says, I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened, that it will receive light, so that you may know the hope of His calling. You see, hope is tied to a calling. If you're just existing like a vegetable, then there's no purpose to anything. So the hope that God wants you to discover, the hope that God is unveiling to you through the Scriptures, the hope is not sitting on a cloud and playing a harp, as the cartoons depict, but arising to be a creature of destiny that God has designed in His own image, brought forth in the fullness of Christ Jesus, so that you will be an eternal and ever-growing blessing, a morning star, literally a sun in the creation. Right, and so the humongous purpose that God has for you, and He's inviting all of us as part of our Christian life to walk into it, Yes, you need to earn money and put bread on the table. But hello, that bread is not eternal life. What God says is that you must understand that there is something far greater that God wants you to enter into. And that calling is His purpose in your life. And He's asking you, find the time to discover what I have for you. Find the energy. Find the anointing. Find the word. Discover the reality of what I have for you. Don't just waste your life away by living in the world. Hello. Ultimately, life in the world is just a waste of time. You may enjoy a lot of things, but yesterday's party is yesterday's party. Yesterday's honors are yesterday's honors. In 10 years' time, nobody will care what honors you carry. That's the world system. Hello, you may think you are the biggest thing in industry today. In 10 years' time, believe me, the younger generation will look at you and say, you are a nobody, old man, just get out of the way. Right? Old man, just get out of the way. You're just a nuisance. We don't want to hear your wisdom. We don't want to know about what you did in your generation. You are a has-been. You are yesterday's story. We are looking for today's story, and we are today's story. And today's story will one day become yesterday's story, by the way. And yesterday's story will become last year's story. And last year's story will one day become last century's story. Hello. And so you must have the wisdom, the knowledge, and the understanding to know that while you may make brilliant designs on the website, one day that will also become out of fashion. And you will also become history. So if you want to be eternal, if you want to live forever today, then get into the kingdom of God. Get into the callings of God. Get into the purposes of God. Yes, you have to go through university and you've got to learn things and all that. But everything you learn in your university, it's only going to last you for a time and for a season. After that, it will become irrelevant. You will become irrelevant. The only way you can stay relevant is if you get into the reality of the living God. Because in Him, by Him, and through Him, you will live forever. And He will raise you, and He will use you, and He will mold you, and He will shape you, so that you will always be relevant to all that is around you. That relevance comes from God. It is sustained in God. It is defined in God. It is manifested by God. And it is for His glory. So that purpose, He has to manifest in your heart. And He manifests the calling in your life through light. It says that the eyes of your heart will be enlightened. That the eyes of your heart will be able to see. Your calling is a personal reality that God puts into your heart. It is something that comes from the Father's heart into your heart by the Spirit in the fullness of Jesus Christ. It is a supernatural communication. If you're looking to your pastor to tell you what you are called, you're looking to the wrong person. If you're looking to the pastor to tell you what you should do and how you should live your life, you're looking to the wrong person. Pastors are for babies. But there is a shepherd who leads you forever. There is a shepherd who is called the Stone of Israel. And He is the one you have to discover. And so you are called. You are called so by His calling. And so He says, the most important thing in your life before you think about anything else is, what is your purpose? What is your purpose? If you think that the body of Christ is about attending church, then you've missed the whole point. It's about discovering and walking into a calling. Right? And so he says, I pray that the eyes of your heart, verse 18, I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened so that you may know what is the hope of his calling. The moment the calling starts manifesting inside of you, the hope grows inside of you. The hope grows inside of you. What comes out of hope is faith. What comes out of faith is an evidence. So please be smart while you are still young. Don't wait until the darkness has come, until you have become frail. Make the right choices today. Right? Now, man shall not live by bread alone. Now, Jesus understands that you need bread to live. But man shall live by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. That's where life is defined. Because bread you need every day. But the word of God is built into you. It carries you every day. It enables you to enter into the things that God has for you. It puts into you. So today there are necessities in life. I need a new place of business. I need to relocate my business. 10 years ago, you also had the same problem. You left your job, you had a new business to start, and you did that as well. Today, as you look back to those 10 years ago, that point in time is an irrelevant reality. It is yesterday. It no longer has got any bearing on your life. But believe me, the day you were born again, that day still has a bearing on your life. Because the seed of Christ was planted in your heart. And out of the seed of Christ, God is unveiling a tree of life. Out of the seed of Christ, God is giving you a brand new life. Out of the tree of life, God is defining a root system within you, the root of David. The tree of life is blossoming so that you will become offspring of David. Princes who will rule and reign. Princes who will rule and reign. Where do we find that? Psalm 132. Let's turn to that. Jesus Christ is the fulfillment of the Psalms. Psalm 132. God swears an oath. Verse 10, the Psalm of David. For the sake of David thy servant, do not turn away the face of thine anointed. The Lord has sworn to David a truth from which he will not turn back. Of the fruit of your body I will set upon your throne. Right? Upon your throne. So God has called you to kingship. Yesterday it may sometimes appear, I don't look very much like a king in the making. But you have to receive the word of God. You have to receive the evidence of the word of God. Once the evidence of the word of God comes inside of you, then you will know that you are anointed of the Lord, that you are a prince of the kingdom, that you are part of the royal household of God, that you are a prince, a son unto God. And you need to understand that. You see, you cannot in your intellect appreciate that verse. It can only be manifested as an enlightened reality within you. It can only be manifested into you as the light of life. Because God communicates light as the light of life. The purpose of the light is not just to give you an empty knowledge. So you know the structure of an atom. So what? Does that change your life or something? Hello? Does that change your life? Does that change the way you live? But the knowledge that comes from God always translates into life. That's why when the eyes of your heart are enlightened, it is enlightened with the light of life. And the light of life tells you that life has a purpose. You're not just there, called there to just work for the bank from 8 o'clock in the morning to 8 o'clock in the night every day for 20 years. And you think that is life, you're an idiot. Hello. I'm sorry to put it like that, But surely you must understand that there's nothing that is going to come out of that. There must be something else. Hello. There must be something else to life. We just can't be going 6 days a week to the office and coming back, right? And thinking that this is life. Make the right choices. Make the time. Make the sacrifices. You will never regret it. All it takes is 5 loaves and 2 fishes. Right? Small thing. Anybody can find it. 5 loaves and 2 fishes. You can go to the market. Right? You don't have to buy, what's that expensive fish called? No, the other one. That cod. What's that? Kurau. Right? You don't have to buy ikan kurau. You can buy kombong and get away with it. Right? If you can't afford kombong, then buy the small one. Right? 5 loaves and 2 fishes. Right? 5 loaves. 5 loaves can be 5 buns too. Right? So within $2 you may be able to buy 5 loaves and 2 fishes. And God can take that and He can multiply it so that it can feed 5,000. You know what 5,000 represents? 5 times 10 to the power of 3. Grace completed in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Grace completed in spirit, soul, and body. All it takes is 5 loaves and 2 fishes. So where are your 5 loaves and 2 fishes? Some people think, I can only serve the Lord if I go to school of theology. Jesus didn't go to any school of theology. And all of the scripture is going to be fulfilled in Him. He was trained in a carpenter's workshop. You have a carpenter's workshop. What are you doing with that carpenter's workshop? Hello. God is the only one who is with you 24 hours of the day. Even when you're asleep, He can work in you. Even when you're asleep, He can teach you. Even in your sleep, He can change you. God doesn't take a rest. God is there all the time. God is available to you 24 hours of the day. God is available to you at the speed of thought. All you have to do is ask and keep asking. Seek and keep seeking. Knock and keep knocking. The Lord says in the book of Isaiah, "Give me no rest." Why does He say that? He wants you to understand. He wants you to know. He wants you to make a decision clearly that what you have in God is something special, that you are prepared to go after it. It is not a 5-minute thingy. It is not like going to the supermarket and buying something. I must have that dress. Hello, 1 year from today, you think that dress will be the be-all and end-all of your life? It will be an old dress. Right? I must have that car. If I don't have that car, my life will not be the same. 5 years from today, you will be driving that car as if it was a piece of tin. Probably it's still made of tin. Yeah. The things of the world never last. That's why Satan keeps telling you must get new things every day. Because he knows the new thing that he gives you will never last. It will not last the month out. Some of it doesn't even last the day out. Some of it, the moment you buy it, it no longer looks the same. But everything in God is something that will grow and grow and grow. Don't get me wrong. I'm not saying that you must now become a monk and go run off and sit under the coconut tree. That's not God's way either. God's way is to discover a calling, not to sit under the coconut tree and meditate yourself into oblivion. Right? God's way is to have a purpose. And that purpose is defined in a calling. And it's a very carefully crafted calling inside of you. Right? Walk into it. Right? It will give you life. It will enable you to have a purpose. Let's go back to Ephesians chapter 1. I pray, verse 18, I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened so that you may know What is the hope of his calling? Right? From his calling comes the next part. What are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints? Out of that calling comes an inheritance. No calling, no inheritance. Because if there is no calling, there is no purpose to the inheritance. Of what use is an inheritance if you do not know how to use it? Of what use are blessings that you cannot put to use anyway? Of what use are anointings that you do not know how to use anyway? Of what use are anointings that you will misuse in your carnal nature? Of what use is eternal life that you only know how to waste? Hello. Of what use is eternal life? Of what use is it for you to live eternally if there is no purpose to your living? Jesus comes and dies for you, and you just sit down on a cloud somewhere and play a harp for the rest of your life. Good grief. I wouldn't waste my breath on that. So there has to be a calling. And the purpose of the calling is so that you can inherit the riches that God has. The wealth of God's heart. The wealth of God's heart. He wants you to discover that and put it to good use. God doesn't give you something for the fun of it. God gives you something so that you will take it and you will run with it. You will use it for the glory of his name. So please be wise. Don't waste your life away. Right? Open that Bible and ask the Lord to write the word inside of your heart. Don't read it for knowledge's sake. That Bible contains life. The reality of life is written in the pages of that book. So take it and discover it. Ask the Holy Spirit to teach you. Because the Word of God is the Word of life. Because the Word of God carries the substance of your creation in Christ Jesus. The Word of God has the potential of channeling the Spirit and life of Jesus inside of you. The Word of God has the potential of bringing the faith and love of Jesus for you into your life and transforming everything in your life. So find that hour every day. Find those 2 hours every day to give to the Lord. And ask Him to give you more time. Ask Him to make time for you. Ask Him to remove all of those tasks in your life that are so debilitating, just destroying the fabric of your being. Have you ever gone into a factory where people sit down there as operators and just do mechanical jobs the whole day long? Do you know that it destroys the human soul? It treats that human being created in the image of God as if that person was an absolute idiot. That all that person can do is a mechanical task. You know, after doing that job for 20 years, you won't believe you are capable of anything else. We call it progress. It was so much better when we were farmers sitting in the ground and tilling the soil. At least that was real work, imaginative work. There were so many things you could do with it. Instead of sitting in factories, now they bring the factories into the office too. And they tell you, you shall do step A, step B, step C, step D. And you shall repeat this every day of your life. We call it controls, we call it all kinds of fancy things. But it just tells you, stop thinking and just do what I tell you to do. Right? Do you know that God doesn't treat you like that? That God wants you to think, He wants you to develop, He wants to develop your personality, He wants your heart to grow, He wants you to live, He wants you to express yourself. God doesn't want you to sit down and mechanically live a life. That's why He didn't create you in the image of a dog. That's why He created you with a free will. And He respects that free will. He honors that free will. And he knows the potentials of that free will are humongous. And he's saying, exercise that free will. Discover what I have for you. Discover the freedom and liberty of the Holy Spirit. You know, sometimes we read the Bible and we say God wants us to become a bondservant, a slave. But God's kind of slavery is totally different from man's kind of slavery. God's kind of slavery is to ask you to discover what He has for you. And when you're subject to God, you have the infinitude of God open to you. I want that kind of slavery. I want to be able to sit at His feet and see what I can do in Him and by Him and through Him. Because I know the potentials of God are infinite. And if those potentials can be mirrored in my life, what an awesome purpose. What an awesome destiny. Yeah. So the riches of His inheritance are dependent on the calling, brethren. You cannot be blessed if you do not have a purpose to your blessing. Which is why I say it's very nice to tell the Lord, "Oh Lord, bless me." Do you have a purpose for that blessing? So you want to see an increase in your business. So you want to see an increase in your profession. So what are you going to use it all for? What are you going to use it all for? Have you made a covenant with the Lord? Are you asking Him to lead you and give you a purpose? Or are you looking for things just to satisfy your ego? And God will always tell you, "I will not give you things that will satisfy your ego." The devil has got plenty of that for you. If you want it, go and discover it and then find the fruit of that too. Hello. God is looking for this calling to unveil in a relationship. And He says, the riches of the glory of His inheritance in the saints, being part of a body, being part of a people chosen. And what is the surpassing greatness of His power towards us who believe? You see, when there is a calling and when there is an inheritance to be realized, then you begin to discover the surpassing greatness of the power of God to you who believe in Him. So power has to have purpose. Hello, can you imagine if you release electricity and there is no cable to guide that electricity? Just imagine if you had electricity and it can go anywhere. Do you know it will destroy everything inside? So you have to have that cable to channel that power somewhere. It has to have a useful purpose. Without that useful purpose, electricity can be very traumatic, right? Any form of energy, for that matter, can be traumatic. So we say, "Oh Lord, give me the anointing." But where is the anointing going to go? Because the anointing must move out. It cannot just stay in. It will burn you up. That's why sometimes you find that people, when they talk about visions they have had of God, when God starts manifesting His presence, they start saying, "Oh Lord, go away from me, because You're going to destroy me. You're going to burn me up." Right? The heat of Your presence, the glory of Your presence, I can't take. Why is it that such comments come out? Because when God manifests Himself, it is always with a purpose. The glory of God does not manifest for nothing. God didn't create the universe for nothing. God created the universe so that He could manifest Himself. God created you so that He could manifest Himself through you. That the highest purpose you have in creation is to be a vessel of the living God. So that He can manifest His wisdom, His understanding, His knowledge, His power, His grace, His faith, His love, His hope, His wisdom through you. So that He can manifest His light through you. But if you are just sitting there and He keeps manifesting Himself, you will just blow up. It has to flow out. It has to flow out. It cannot flow out if there is no calling. It has to be the right kind of calling. It has to be the purpose He has defined it. Otherwise it will be like Lucifer. You know what is the sentence on Lucifer? God says, I will burn you like a fire from inside. I will burn you like a fire from inside. Yes, you received all of my anointings. Fine. But all of that is going to burn you from the inside. Because you used it all the wrong way. And so God is talking to us. You need to have a purpose. And the purpose of the purpose is so that the surpassing greatness of His power can be manifested in us. Right? Which is why the next part of the verse says, these are in accordance with the working of the strength of His might, which He brought about in Christ when He raised Him from the dead and seated Him at His right hand. In order to manifest the calling, in order to manifest the glory of His inheritance, in order to manifest the surpassing greatness of His power, God had to unveil the channel through which all of that power could be manifested. Jesus Christ, a man with a perfect nature, a man with a perfect understanding of purpose. So He manifested Jesus Christ, a man with all of His heart, a David, a man after God's own heart, a man who will do all of my will, says the Lord, a man who will live for me, a man who will be a perfect channel for all of my glory, a man who will be a perfect channel for all the good things that I have for the creation. And so you find that God takes all of the goodies that He has got for us and He manifests it to us in the fullness of Jesus Christ. He communicates it to us in the spirit and life of Jesus. He communicates it to us in the wisdom, the knowledge, and the understanding that He defined in Jesus Christ. He communicates it to us in the faith and the love that He defined in Jesus Christ. And do you realize the potentials of your call? If you can receive the personality of Christ Jesus, if you can receive the faith of the Lord Jesus Christ, if you can receive the wisdom of the Lord Jesus Christ, if you can receive the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, if you can receive the power of His resurrection, if you can receive the light of His glory, can you see the potentials of your life? That's why the Bible says very categorically, you and I are chosen to receive and realize the fullness of Jesus Christ. The fullness of Him in His image. Right? So this calling comes to you as Jesus is unveiled within you. And God is saying, don't reject the processes by which I start molding you and shaping you so that you are conformed to Christ Jesus. It has to be so. It has to be so. Because you will never achieve the purpose that I have for you if you are not in my image and in my fullness, says the Lord. You will never do anything right with your life if you refuse to be conformed to my Son. You will never get anything right with your life, no matter how rich you are, no matter how famous you are, no matter how intelligent you are, no matter how anointed you are, no matter what great office you stand in. You will never get it right if you are not prepared to be conformed to my Son. If you're not prepared to be manifested in the image and fullness of Jesus Christ. Nothing will work in your life. Haven't you learned that lesson in life? So why do you keep going back to that same stupid, idiotic lifestyle? There is no future in that. Haven't you discovered it? How stupid can we be? We strut around like peacocks thinking that our intelligence will have it all right. It doesn't work, la. It never worked. It never worked when you used to play marbles. It doesn't work when you start driving your sports car. It just doesn't work. Same lesson. whether you play tops and marbles, or whether you play computer games, or whether you sit down and you play corporate games. It's the same rubbish. Life comes only from God. Life is entirely described in Jesus Christ. And God gave us that life through the cross. He gave us that life through a sacrifice. And He says, "This is my heart. This is who I am like. This is my faith and my love for you. This is my willingness to forgive you. Why do you reject it? Why do you reject it to take some cheap stuff off some supermarket shelf? Why do you exchange my glory? The glory of my compassion, the glory of my graciousness, the glory of my abundant loving kindness, the glory of my truth, the glory of my faithfulness, the glory of my judgments. Why do you exchange it for rubbish, for garbage of the world system? Why do you exchange it for that? When will you learn, my children, that the devil cannot bless you, that he is a curse? From head to toe, he's a curse. From head to toe, he's an idiot. From head to toe, he's a fool. When are you going to learn that idols of stone are not in the image of God? When are you going to learn that smart preacher men are not going to save you? When are you going to learn that only I can change your life? When are you going to learn that it's not your bank balance that is going to change you? That your need in life is not a bigger house and a bigger car and a bigger job. They will never satisfy. Haven't you learned it before? You have been promoted before. You have received larger salaries before. Did it bring joy into your heart and transform your life? And your face started shining with the joy of this new job that you got. Hello. You have been through it all. From small job to bigger job to bigger job to bigger job. Nothing changed. You had more money, less money, then you had more money, and then you had more money to spend. Nothing changed. Nothing changed. Inside of you, nothing changed. So you wore a three-piece suit. So you found a $500 tie. It's the same silly tie. So you used to eat in the Sarabat stall. Now you go and you reheat in the Hilton. You used to spend $3 for a meal. Now you spend $500 for a meal. It's still the same stupid meal. Hello, you can only eat so much, and after that it is finished. I mean, you come out of a restaurant and you say, "Oh my goodness, I just discovered life. My life will never be the same. What a great dim sum I ate." Right, I saw this great movie. My goodness, it inspired me. It changed my life. From now on, I will never be the same. I will never be the same. It will just fill my life forever with joy. So I just got this degree. I worked so hard for it. It says first class honors in law from Cambridge. 10 years from today, nobody will care that you came from Cambridge. There may be some people who will worship you for a short while. Then it will all end. So your pride and your joy when you got it, "Oh, I'm going to be somebody in life." Hello, tomorrow morning you get cancer. I like to see how many people will say you are somebody in life. So God is saying the calling that I have for you. How much time have you spent to find out what I want to do with your life? How much time have you found out? How much effort have you made to discover what I have for you? I died for you and you refused to trust me. You will go to the guy who is your mechanic and he cheats you every time he gives you a bill and you still go back to him. And I who have died for you, you are still trying to find out whether you can trust me. You're still trying to figure out whether I have a better way for you or you have a better way for yourself. When is all this circus going to end? When are you going to discover what I have for you, says the Lord? When are you going to discover that I didn't simply die so that you could be saved? I died so that you will find a purpose, so that you will live, so that you will be all that I want you to be. I designed you to be a blessing. I designed you to be an awesome creation. In my own image, I designed you. I gave you my fullness. In my word, I said that it is my purpose to fill you with all the fullness of God. You find that in Ephesians 3:19. But still you don't want me. Still you want your Mercedes-Benz and your big car and your big job and your big this and your big that. You think it is better than what I can give you. When will you look at me and understand that I am God? That all creation is but a dot to me. For I am God, says the Lord. And my greatness is immeasurable. Yet I have chosen to manifest my greatness into you. So why will you not receive the reality that is in my word? If you allow my word to be written in your heart, you will discover a new reality. And the things of the world will change. The value that you give to them will change. And then you will find that it's not such a big thing to give them up. Then you will find that there is a bigger reality than what you can see with your eyes and feel with your hands. There are higher realities than what you experience in this world. But all of those higher realities I have to bring into you as an evidence of my word. I have to bring it inside of you. You must allow me to teach you. You must allow me to show you as I teach you and I develop that process in your life. I'm asking you to trust me by just deciding to walk in a certain way. To let me work in your heart, says the Lord. I'm asking you to trust me so that I will bring into your heart something far beyond you ever imagined could be. And when you start beginning to discover that, you will know that the life that I have for you is an awesome privilege and an awesome blessing. So arise, my children, and walk. I have chosen you to be my children. I have chosen to be your father. I have chosen to be your healer. I have chosen to be your sanctifier. I have chosen to become your righteousness. I have chosen to become your blessing. I have chosen to manifest my glory in your life. Do you know what my glory means, says the Lord? Do you know what my greatness is like? Do you know that it is written in the Word of God that I removed Lucifer, who thought he could become God, together with millions of his angels at the speed of lightning? So what is my power like, my children? And yet I've chosen you to discover my power. I've chosen you to discover my wisdom. For I spoke and the planets were formed. I spoke and the laws were manifested. And I am the same God who has chosen to give you my word as an inheritance and as a possession. So that one day you will speak and things will be done. things will be accomplished. I have chosen that you will become partakers of my divine nature, that you will discover how awesome it is to shine with my light, to live my life, to manifest my wisdom, to manifest my power, to manifest my greatness. Choose. Don't despise my purpose in your life. It will bring you far more than you ever imagined, far more than all of your intelligence can ever imagine. I am the Lord. There is none besides me. I am the Almighty and All-Sufficient God. There is none besides me. There will never be anyone like me. I am God forever and ever. Amen. Let's look at Ezekiel chapter 44, verse 28. In the last 8 chapters of the book of Ezekiel is a vision of the Lord Jesus Christ, a vision of his messianic reality. So in Ezekiel chapter 44, verse 28, and it says, "And it shall be with regard to an inheritance for them, that I am their inheritance, and you shall give them no possession in Israel. I am their possession." So understand that you are chosen to receive and realize Jesus Christ as your inheritance and as your possession. Do you want him or not? Do you want him? All of his fullness is available to you. That's the purpose of God for your life. Let's turn to Luke chapter 22. Celebrating the Passover. So you now understand that the Passover is an unveiling of your calling, and you will rise into the mount of the Lord. So in verse 14, when the hour had come, he reclined at the table and the apostles with him, and he said to them, "I have earnestly desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. For I say to you, I shall never again eat it until it is fulfilled in the kingdom of God." The kingdom of God is within you, brethren. God is talking to you on your insides. God is manifesting a Passover, a new reality of life on the inside. All that God is doing to you, he is manifesting it on the inside. The evidence of faith is being built inside of you. And God is asking you to see with all that he is providing for you on the inside. It's not about what you see on the outside. Everything that you see on the outside is subject to what you see on the inside. On the inside, God has chosen you to see him. On the inside, God has chosen you to see his glory. On the inside, God has given you the capacity to rise into the mount of the Lord. On the inside, God has given you the capacity to realize that you can love the Lord your God with all of your heart, with all of your soul, with all of your mind, and with all of your strength. On the inside, God is telling you there is an awesome potential in your life, because I will reveal myself to your insides. I have chosen you so that my manifest presence can be manifested inside of you. I have chosen you as my tabernacle. I have chosen you as my dwelling place, so that everything that I have can be manifested inside of you. It can be manifested through your life. And so when it manifests through you, it will change the situations that are around you. But all this will take time, my children. Which is why I told you that you must be steadfast and patient with what I have for you. Because I cannot give you things without first changing you. I cannot give you the greater things that I have for you until I have passed you over from darkness into my light. It is the evidence of my light that you need to see. When you see the evidence of my light, you will have a new day to live, a new tomorrow. So arise, my children. Don't be defeated by your situations and circumstances. Did I not say that if you seek my kingdom, all these things will be added to you? Can I lie, says the Lord. Seek ye first the kingdom of God, and all these things will be added unto you. The kingdom of God is within you. Praise the Lord. Verse 17, and when he had taken a cup and given thanks, he said, take this and share it among yourselves. For I say to you, I will not drink of the fruit of the vine from now on until the kingdom of God comes. Jesus said, I am the true vine. The fruit of the vine is from his branches. We are his branches. We were created for fruitfulness. But you realize that all of that fruitfulness will come through all that God supplies through Jesus Christ. But God is saying here, I will provide for you everything to manifest this fruitfulness. So he says, this is the cup. Drink of it. All you have to do is drink of it. It is I who am going to suffer. It is I who am going to shed my blood. It is I who had my body ripped apart. It is I who was humiliated and ridiculed. But the cup of my offering I give to you, will you not drink of it? Will you not drink of it, receive my witness and live the fruitfulness of my faith, the fruitfulness of my love, the fruitfulness of my nature, the fruitfulness of my forgiveness? Will you not live that? Will you not live that, my children? See, the fruit of the vine I will drink from your life. The fruit of the vine I will taste from your heart. And the fruit of your life is the fruit of your life. And the fruit of your life will be manifested from my sacrifice. Have I not told you that I have loved you with an everlasting love? Have I not told you that I have loved you with an everlasting love? But for you to see that love, you must first want that love. You must choose to turn to me. Verse 19, and when he had taken some bread and given thanks, he broke it and gave it to them, saying, this is my body which is given for you. For you. Do this in remembrance of me. Understand that everything that I want to bring forth in your life, it is of my sacrifice. And I ask you to remember me so that you will not forget that it is my sacrifice that has blessed you. It is that sacrifice that has changed your life. It is that sacrifice that I gave that has enabled you to see a new tomorrow. It is my sacrifice that enabled you to be born again. It is the seed of my spirit that was planted in your heart. It is the seed of my spirit that is bringing forth in you a tree of life. And I ask you to remember me so that the root of the tree, as it's established from your heart to my heart, it will be established in the root of David, that I will be your beloved. So turn to me, and I will surely bless you, says the Lord. For I gave all of myself to you personally. I gave all of my sacrifice to you personally. And in the same way he took the cup after they had eaten, saying, this cup which is poured out for you is the new covenant in my blood. Amazing statement that. This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Through my blood and my sacrifice, through my suffering, I give you a covenant. I give you an oath of promise. I give you an oath of blessing. I give you an oath of an anointing that will last and grow forever in your life. I give you my entire word. God is literally saying, I swear to you that this is the truth. And that oath is in the cup. The cup represents the outpouring of His witness in blood, water, and spirit. An outpouring of His witness in faith and love. And He's saying, that's an oath. I don't lie. And I have chosen to manifest that oath as a covenant of life within you. My Spirit will write it within you, says the Lord. And you will be blessed with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places. You will unveil as a morning star, higher even than the angels. Shall we pray? Father, we bless you and thank you, Lord, that we are able to partake of this Passover in the merits of the Lamb. For none of us is worthy to come before you. But because the blood of Jesus is manifested within us, and because the blood of Jesus stands over our life in all eternity, we know, Father, that we have been given this awesome privilege of being able to partake of this Passover that will enable us to rise into the mount of the Lord, to receive and realize the treasures of your heart. And so, Father, we thank you for the word that you have spoken into our lives today, reminding us, O God, that you have loved us with an everlasting love. And that love has been expressed to us in a witness of blood, water, and spirit. And we are all called to receive and to realize that witness so that we will have a calling and a purpose in you. So Father, release that calling and that purpose into the body of Christ, across the world and in the heavenly places, both Jew and Gentile. That each one will have a purpose in you, Father. That each one will discover the awesome reality of having, O God, a destiny in you, Father. So we ask you, Father, to sanctify these elements of the bread and wine, that they will be to us by your Holy Spirit, the body and blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. That as we partake of him in his flesh and in his blood, as we receive of him in his fullness, we will be unveiled as a new creation with a new purpose. A purpose defined in the faith and love of Jesus. A purpose communicated through the Spirit and life of the Lord Jesus Christ. A purpose enabled in His character and in His nature. A purpose manifested in the substance of His fullness. A purpose unveiled in the witness of His sacrifice in blood, water, and spirit. A purpose enabled by His Spirit. A purpose purified, O God, in the washing of the water of His Word. A purpose unveiled in blood, Father. A purpose that doesn't lie. A purpose that does not pass away. A purpose that lives forever. A purpose that grows forever. A purpose that manifests each one of us as an everlasting blessing. And having prayed this old prayer, Father, we do not even understand what it really means, Father. But we thank you that the understanding will be made manifest in us. And we will rise to be the blessing you want us to be. Thank you for the awesomeness of all that you mean to equip us in Christ Jesus. Sanctify therefore these elements of the bread and wine, that they will be to us by your Holy Spirit, the body and blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, unveiling us as a new creation in Christ Jesus, empowering us and energizing us to unfail as a new creation, Lord, able to do all things through Christ who strengthens us. We bless you and thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. Father, we thank you for the living bread that came down out of heaven. Of his fullness we have all received grace upon grace. And today, Father, you have told us in no uncertain terms that in the fullness of Jesus Christ is an eternal purpose for us, Father. In the fullness of Jesus Christ there is an inheritance of your riches, Father. In the fullness of Jesus Christ there is the reality of a surpassing greatness of power, Father. And all of this opens to us as we answer the call upon our lives. So give us the wisdom, the knowledge, the understanding, the conviction, the strength. Manifest the truth that will set us free from the shackles of the world, so that we will answer the call upon our lives, Lord. Manifest the substance of the Lord's fullness that will enable us to answer the call, that will enable us to enter the call, that will enable us to receive and realize the calling, that will enable us to be perfected and completed in the image and fullness of the Lord Jesus Christ. We celebrate the unveiling of this creation in the merits of the Lamb, in the name of Jesus. And we give you glory and honor, Father. In Jesus' name, amen. As we partake of the cup of his sacrifice, the sacrifice that manifested the witness of blood, water, and spirit, we realize, O God, that this cup was poured out so that we will find a purpose in you, Father. A purpose that will be defined in us in a witness of blood, water, and spirit. With each of the dimensions of blood, water, and spirit peculiarly defined in the faith and love of Jesus for each one of us. The blood manifesting the highest purpose of his faith and his love. The water representing the purifying power of his faith and his love. His spirit representing the enabling power of his faith and his love. And we thank you that all this is ours in the purpose that you have for us. Enable us to realize this awesome wonder, Father. In Jesus' name. Amen.